Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, where we will read verse 1, and then from verse 5 to verse 42. Now this is a long passage, but I need to read the whole passage, and I want you to listen attentively. If you're thinking about the roast you're cooking, or that braai that you're inviting me to after a service, or tomorrow's troubles, or any of those things, kind of shut it off now and try and follow. I'll try and read slowly and clearly. The heading of this passage is, Jesus sends out the 12. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil, to drive out evil spirit, and to heal every disease and sickness. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for a worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter a home, give it your greetings. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it's not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as doves. But be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local council and flock you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witness to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, by the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a student to be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of this household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. May the Lord bless these words to us. Phew, that was a long reading. Are you still with me? My voice is kind of like cracking up a bit. And if I go silent, hopefully it's not the Holy Spirit silencing me. Who of you knows me? I've been here for what now? 10 months? There's one hand to the back. Thank you, at least somebody knows me. So now, Justin, you put your foot in it. Who's my favorite saint? Oh man, at room in your office. Who is that guy again, Corky? St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis of Assisi. He was the chap who opened his ears to the Lord, forgot what the church was teaching him, listened to scripture, and schooled his whole life on what the Lord taught him, what he read from scripture. And then, around him, a few chaps started following him, becoming his disciples, and they became monks. And they were famous, these monks. But I don't think you know St. Francis that well. Maybe if I tell you about Robin Hood, and you know about, I've said this before, you know about the old Fry Tuck. Yeah, you know that guy? Now, he was a Franciscan monk. And so what St. Francis did was, he schooled his whole ministry, his whole life, and everybody who followed Jesus through him on the schooling of this passage we've just read. All they did, he told his monks, was to go out there, work for your food. Don't take anything with you. And what you get, you share with others. Freely you receive, freely you shall give. And in doing this, what St. Francis then did, or the Lord did through St. Francis, they actually saved the church at a time when the church was busy dying because people were not faithful to the Word of God. In this passage, there's quite a few things that's happening, and I can probably preach for 4, 6, maybe even 8 weeks on this passage. But this morning I want to focus on a few things. And the first thing that we realize in this passage is that there's ascending. Jesus sends his disciples out with instruction of where they were supposed to be going to. He told them, you guys, you take your stuff and you go into your own backyard. You go to a place that you know. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Go to the people you know. People who speak the same language as you speak. People who believe the same things you believe. People who have the same customs you have. People you can connect with. And they were Jews, they even smell the same. You know, if you use olive oil in everything you prepare, you smell differently than the rest of us. You're supposed to laugh, it's a joke. Go to these people that know you and that you know. And then he sent them with a specific job. He didn't just say, go there, and when you get there, see what you want to do. He says, go there and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near. And then he gives them authority. He says, you have authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. He didn't give them any other instructions. He didn't tell them, go and baptize the people, go and plant churches, go feed the poor. He said, you go and do this. A specific instruction. And there's a reason for this. We'll get to that now. But when Jesus sent these guys out, he also equipped them with certain skills and talents. Skills and talents they did not have before. And some of these skills were temporary, and it was not a full set of skills. Remember, these guys were not filled with the Holy Spirit yet. This only happened like 40 days after Jesus' death. And remember when, actually 50 days at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, over them. So he gives them a little bit of the skills that they need, but the specific skills for the specific job that he starts them with. Now Jesus sent them. He told them what to do. He equipped them for this. And now he tells them how to support himself in doing this job. He says to them, don't take a load of money with you. Don't do that. Leave your gold, your silver, your copper coins. Leave that at home. He says, go there and rather work to support yourselves. For their worth was in their labor. Their worth was in what they did for the kingdom of heaven. The worker's worth is in his keep, or work is in his keep. These disciples were sent out with nothing else than the clothes they had on their body. They were not even supposed to take an extra shirt or tunic or even an extra staff or even extra sandals. They had no money and they had no bag to put anything in anyhow. It also reminds me of the Amazing Race, doesn't it? At least they get a little bit of money, don't they? Does anybody still watch that program? They were sent out not to do their work, but a work of the Father. This was not their work. It was God's work they were sent out to do. This was not the disciples' mission. It was God's mission. Jesus said, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. It clearly tells us that he's sending out to do God's work. And so off these disciples go. But now the problem is, just before they leave, Jesus says, oh, by the way, this job I'm sending you to do will never be completed. You will not be able to do this job. You won't complete it. This is a project that you will not be able to finish. Jesus says to him, truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And while you're doing this, even the towns you go through, they'll probably kick you out. That's what Jesus is telling these guys. Do you think that Jesus knew that his disciples were going to fail? He knew this. Do you think Jesus knew that his disciples were not going to get this message across to the Jewish guys he was sending them to? Jesus knew this. He knew they were going to fail. These guys were set up for failure. Now you might think, yeah, Corky, it's good for you to say that, but how do you know they'd failed? Well, they were sent to proclaim the kingdom of heaven was near, weren't they? But when the Messiah was crucified, how many of these people that the disciples were sent to, how many of these guys were standing there and shouting, please don't crucify him? They were standing there shouting, crucify him. Crucify him. How many of them were hiding and weeping while they witnessed Jesus' pain and suffering and his death? Think about that for a minute. And then think about how successful these disciples were. We find two groups of people in this passage. They found two groups. There are those who were sent and those who they were sent to. In the first group, the disciples, Judas Iscariot included, these guys were already kind of like people living with a bit of fear in them. And now Jesus scares the living daylights out of them. He paints a picture of that what awaits them when they go into their own backyard. And he says, I'm sending you like sheep among wolves. Jesus is honest with them. He tells them exactly what to expect. Jesus knew these guys, and he knew that they were full of fear. But who were they fearing? Did they fear man? Man could certainly hurt and kill them. But Jesus says, man cannot kill the soul of the disciples of Jesus. No human can take away the place in the kingdom of heaven of those who believe in Jesus. Jesus says, you fear man, but you should be fearing God. Jesus says, for he and he alone can kill body and soul. Those who are sent on God's mission should not fear the world they are sent into. Yes, this world might hurt and kill the followers of the Almighty, but the world cannot take away your salvation. The second group we find in this passage is the group that the disciples are sent to. And we find that Jesus said to his disciples that they will be received in one of two ways. Either they will be accepted or they will be rejected. And I wonder what the fearful disciples might have felt at this stage when they heard this. Oh Lord, they're going to reject me. They're going to reject me. And then Jesus comforted them saying, whoever acknowledged me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. And then Jesus comforted him further. He says, you know what? A sparrow will not fall from the sky without God knowing about it. He even knows how many hair you have on your head. Okay, Peter, some of us have a little bit less than Robert than the others. But Jesus even knows that. Nothing will happen to those who acknowledge Jesus without him knowing about it. And so he tells his disciples not to be afraid. But Jesus says to those who disown him, they will not be known by the Father. They will not be known by the Father because their souls will be in hell. Their souls will be dead. Those who do not listen and receive Jesus as disciples, those who do not welcome them, and those who close their doors to them, they are not welcoming Jesus, and they are not welcoming the Father into their lives, and they will not receive the proper reward. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive the prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. So he tells them, relax about those guys. God will deal with them. So now you might be wondering already, I hope you are, why were these disciples then set up to fail? Why did Jesus do this to them? Jesus was preparing them for a life of ministry. They were still learning the ropes, and in a sense, this was their practical assignment that Jesus sent them out on. He says, go out there so I can train you. Didn't tell them that though, because if they knew it was just an assignment, they might not have been so fearful. And when Jesus sent them out, they had to place their trust in the very things Jesus wanted them to place it in. You see, these guys had placed their trust in the gold and the silver and the copper coins in their bag. These guys had placed their trust in knowing that they've got a home to go to, that they've got a bed to sleep in, they've got people around them who will cook for them and take care of them. And Jesus purposely placed them in a situation where to face their fears. What will I do without money? What will I do with an extra set of clean clothing? Where will I sleep tonight? Jesus takes all of that away. takes all of that away. He purposely put him in a place where he had to face these fears of them. Because if he didn't do that, they would not have done it as their own. These guys had to go into the world, a world known by them, and a world that knows them, but with nothing but the clothes on their backs. They had to go amongst people they would normally, if they'd meet or see them, would have put their best foot forward and say, you know, put their best clothes on and behave at their best. And they had to go amongst these people as beggars, even begging on street corners. If any one of you ever stood on a street corner begging for something, it's a pity if Horn is not here, he would have told us what it feels like. Have you ever stood on a street corner having to beg for something? Have you ever had to stand on a street corner asking for a job, even if it pays only by the hour? And here's the catch, while doing that, proclaiming Jesus to others. Have you ever done this? Not in a faraway place where nobody knows you, but here in Middelburg, maybe there by McDonald's, where every second person driving past would actually know you. Scary. This is what Jesus did to his disciples. This is what Jesus did to his disciples to take the fear of the world out of them, but also to show them what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus. Fear keeps people from being real disciples. Fear of hunger, fear of what people will say or do if they do see you standing on a street corner, fear of hurt, fear of failure, fear of rejection. Who in his right mind would want to hang alone on a cross while thousands of people are shouting, "Kill him, kill her"? Jesus said, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me." You want to know what his cross looked like? This passage is about what it means to take up the cross of Jesus. And if one can do that, if one can get rid of this fear, rid of the security that this world brings, that we think is security, then you belong to the reign of God. And belonging to the reign of God transforms people's life, transforms your life, and brings you into a new relationship with God, where everything you put your trust in is in God and not in the stuff around us. What do we fear? We fear of things that will kill our body. We fear hunger. But do you really fear losing your soul as well? What do we put our faith in? Do we put our faith in those things that can rust, be destroyed by fire? Or do we put our faith in that which is indestructible, but that which you can't see yet? Do we put our faith really in God? Eventually the disciples received the Holy Spirit, and this passage says, "What you receive, freely share." They have only received a little at this stage, yet the Lord told them to freely share that what they have received. What is it that you've got that you can freely share? I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the front, and we are going to, as a response to what we've heard now, sing "God Forgave My Sin" in Jesus' name. But I want you to listen to the words of the refrain in this song. This song, I need to find my notes because I haven't got it in front of me. I forget what I wanted to say to you. Can't find it, doesn't matter. This song will tell us, before, if they give me a chance, in the refrain, the song will tell us that we freely receive from the Lord, we freely freely share. But it will also say to us that God forgave my sin, and because of that, we've received something. And because we believe, others will know that I live. And there's a few things in this. Because we believe, others will know that Jesus lives. But it doesn't say, because we believe, others will believe. We don't make people to believe. They see that Jesus lives. Many people will believe, but many more will just know that Jesus lives and never believe.